Good morning, everybody. There's a couple points I want to make with what you're saying up here, Brad, and that is we are not all in God's hand. Only seven are. Revelation 1. Also, the name of the Lord is Jesus, not Jehovah. But the one thing where it's we are not all in God's hand is a place of we got free will. One of the things that you had said up here was that we can walk away from the Lord. We surely can. And many did. And many have. And many have perished because of that. Now, it was interesting. Where I really want to go to is we're actually doing Bible study with the children the other night. And there's one point in Mark that really kind of highlighted to me. And in Mark, let me get closer to this mic here. And in Mark chapter 2, we can start at verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I highlight this to you for is because what the Pharisees were standing in, they were standing in a place where they thought they were righteous. They thought they were good. They thought that they had all the things of the Lord, that they did not need Jesus at all. At all. And the place where the publicans and sinners were, which really, we're all sinners, okay? But the place where the publicans and sinners were, they were receiving good things that the Lord had for them. And see, I can look at the scribes and Pharisees and say, oh, what hypocrites. I can look at those and say, man, they really thought they were something. I can look at that and judge that left and right, up and down. But do we do the same thing? Now, I say this to you because, look, when we turn around and justify ourselves, when we justify ourselves and think that we don't need the Lord, and we justify ourselves against when the truth testifies against us and we want to run from it, hide away from it, make every excuse in the book why that is not the case, we actually keep ourselves from grabbing the good things that the Lord has for us. We actually walk away. We actually reject it. Just as the Pharisees rejected it. Did they not? At every turn they were rejecting Jesus. And everything, even though they saw the mighty works wrought by his hands, they saw the dead to be raised. They saw the sick get healed. They saw the demons being cast out. They saw the blind to see. They saw these things happen. But yet they still reject it. Now, we have seen the power of God move in our lives mightily. Have we not? Abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I'm looking at Margie. I'm looking at her kids here right now. And praise God. That's above all that we can ask or think. And the whole thing that happened last year is above all that we can ask or think. I remember Margie here around the same time. And the situation that was there was so big. It was impossible for it to turn out the way it did except the Lord Jesus Christ be in it. And be there and move by his power and by his spirit to work all these things out. And what do we have right here before our face is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his might, of His power and of His grace. Right here. Right here. But see, if we want to grab the good things that the Lord has for us, we need to stop making excuses. We need to stop justifying ourselves against that comes down upon us. See, what happens is it's for our own good. Doesn't the Lord say He what? Chastening those that He loves, right? He chastening them. It leaves a mark. And if you endure chastisement, well, praise God, you'll get the good things that the Lord has for you. But if you reject it, walk away from it, don't want anything to do with it, when that light shines on your dark heart, you reject the good things that the Lord has for you. To get shed of all the nonsense and the unbelief and the things that are of the flesh, of that are of no good thing. I mean, in the scripture it talks about, let's go to John 15 for a second. And I know we've talked about this in the sermons in times past, but I want to go to John 15 again. And we've hit this many times. In John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Why are they clean? Because of what they have done? Because of what they have accomplished? Because of what they could do? No. They are clean by what? The word which Jesus spoken unto them. See, it was the word, it was all that what Jesus had done. All that Jesus had done. The testimony I'm using of Marge right here, right now, of the Lord, is all what the Lord has done. That's what it is. But how many of you actually go and y'all reject, 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 reject the good things of the Lord, because yet you stand off in self-justification, self-righteousness, and saying, I don't need it. I'm not a sinner. I don't need that. You're not doing any different than what the Pharisees do. See, Brad, when that chastening comes to you and that correction comes to you, that's an opportunity to get shed of the nonsense that's been plaguing you, and you can grab the good things that the Lord has. It's like you're trading your sorrows for the joy of the Lord. What is it? That's one song that says, beauty for ashes. What you got is nothing. Is of no good at all. Nothing at all. What does Paul testify? In my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. None. Zero. Zippo. Nada. And you trade that garbage and that nonsense for all the good things He has. Well, praise be to God. Hallelujah. That is something to rejoice in. And so when these things come about, and when you can come to the realization and these things are coming about, where you see that what? In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And you might have thought, and see, it's easy when you can see that it is of no good thing. I mean, that's easy to get shed and cast and to trade in, right? But it's when you sit there and you want the things that you thought were so great about yourself. The things of your thought process, of your carnal mind, that you thought were so right and so true. And it was just, man, high and mighty and all these things. And then when that gets a light shined on that, where it is just of your carnal mind and it's of the flesh and it is of no good thing, and all that is just pride and self-righteousness. It's good for nothing. See, that's when you start justifying yourself. That's when you start making excuses. That's when you go off in the corner and say, well, I can't, I give up. I can't do nothing right. Isn't it? We've been there. I've been there. I know. But when we can just choose to lay that out, lay that down, and agree with the truth, it will be the truth that what? It will set you free. It will get those bonds and those chains that are on your arms and ankles that are holding you back to move forward in the Lord, and it will come falling right off. If you just choose to believe Him, if you just choose to let go of it. You know, we talk about casting off that carnal mind. Casting off that flesh. Absolutely casting it off. See, that's the first step. That's what you need to do so that you can what? Grab on to that Jesus is mine, not the carnal mind, but Jesus is mine. Put on that mind of Christ. That's what I'm looking for. You first got to cast all that nonsense off. You know what else you got to do? What the scripture says to do? What is to do what? Put off the what? Old man and his deeds. And what? Put on the new man, which comes from who? The Lord. Same with Jesus' mind. But if you think the thing is so great and so good and it's something worth hanging on to, you're not going to let it go. So what happens is a minister comes by and says, hey man, that stuff is garbage. It's nonsense. You need to get shed of that. You need to find your motive in that thing. Look at it. Look at it clearly. Find out. Get honest with yourself and with the Lord. What happens? You get offended at the minister. You get mad at him. Which really, you're just mad at the Lord for showing you these things. But he's faithful. He wants you to be free, not in bondage. He's here to set you at liberty, not in chains. And see, that's where the place where yet you can put that old man off. You can see it for what it is. You can go to the Lord. You can throw yourself at the mercy of the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I see that's the carnal mind. I cast that thing down. I want no place of it in my life. And you got to want it and desire it more than anything. Even the want to, you can go to Him. Lord, it's not even that I want to. Lord, give me the want to. Because it all comes from Him. It all comes from Him. All good things come from the Father of lights, who is no, where there's no variableness, and or is He a respecter of persons. He's not. That means that any single one of you can do it. That means a two-year-old can do it. But you got to get shed of the pride. You got to get shed of the high-mindedness. You got to get shed of the things that you think you're just so great in, because you're not. He is. And you can partake of that. That is the most awesome thing ever. That's why those sinners and those publicans received the good things of the Lord, because they recognized that they were. They recognized that they were. And they didn't hang on to the excuse or the any crap that came about. And you can see where there'd be many following Jesus. He preached one sermon. Guess what? There wasn't but like what? The 12 left. Because why? They were offended. They walked out in justification and in pride. It says, look, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up. What does it say? God resists the proud, but what giveth grace unto the humble? Do you want God resisting you? Well, then humble yourself. Humble yourself. It's that simple. It's that simple. I know in Peter, I think it says, following after that, casting all your care upon him, because what? He careth for you. Now, I want to go, what time is it? I got some time. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm pulling it up on the iPhone. I like this device. It's online Bible. And I think I'll just start at verse 1 and go on down. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now this part in chapter 5 is really what I want to get to. You had people in there that were judging Paul and talking about how he's walking after the flesh, and he's making it very clear that that's not what he was doing, and that's not where he walks in. But rather, he walks in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the power of God. And he what? It says it here, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And when you do that, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that is that carnal mind creeping in. That is that thing trying to take place, take root in your life. Now, I talk to you on this front as from a personal front, for you to get honest with yourself, get honest with the Lord, to you to prepare to cast those things down and to put those things off by not your might or your strength, but by His strength and His might. You absolutely cast it off. When it says to put off that old man, it's charging you to. That's like a commandment to do. And He's given you that power. He's given you that freedom from that old man. And as that is something for you yet to put off. I can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your brother can't do it for you. We can exhort one another. We can point them to the Word. But the personal choice comes down to whom? You. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's something we all do. See, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we have. A personal one. Between you and the Lord. That's what we have. It's not by second nature or second hand. No, you know it. You make the gospel yours. And it's about coming to that place and casting down all that high stuff. So when that light shines on your dark heart, or when that minister comes to shine the light on your dark heart, that you cast that out for what? Your freedom, for your good, so that you can become free. See, we have the opportunity. I don't know if anybody listened to the Wednesday night service, but on the Wednesday night service, it's talking about coming to that place in Matthew 7 where he says, Lord, Lord, look at the things we've done. Look at the marvelous, I'm paraphrasing, but look at the marvelous things we've done. And what does he say? I never knew you, you what? You workers of iniquity, because it was of you, not of me. saith the Lord. And this is the place where now we don't do, because it's going to be His love. It's going to be His faith. It's going to be His strength that you operate in, not yours. And if it is not His, then it's none of His. If it is of Him, then it's of Him. And it's about taking that Word of God seriously and being diligent to seek Him out to get all that He has. And to not deceive yourselves in any other thing. I don't know about you, but when I heard that Wednesday night service, I wanted to throw myself down at the mercy seat of the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I don't want to miss anything you have, and I don't want to be out of the way. Lord, do what it takes. Do what it takes, Lord. And it's about coming to that place in truth, in honesty. And He's faithful, and He's good, and He's righteous, and He's able. And you go and you trust Him and you move forward. And if you be any otherwise minded of the things that are of Him or of any of those things, He will show it to you, because He's good. He's a loving Father. But He's not going to make you do it. He's a gentleman. The flesh will oppress you. It will want to make you do things. The Lord's not that way. But He has all these good things for you, if you will receive it. And for you to receive it, you need to humble yourselves. And come to the knowledge of truth, and cast off the justifications, and cast off the excuses, and all the garbage. And then on the other side, He has, it's just awesome. Abundantly above that, all that you can ask or think. That's what He has for you on the other side. But it's time to get serious, folks. It's time to put off the nonsense. Put off that old man. Put off that pride. Put off that self-righteousness. Do you take heed to these things, or do you just say, I've heard that before? What is it that you do with it? What is it that you do with it? But this is the serious, folks. The seriousness of this. And I know if we will just do that, I know what the Lord is able to do. In fact, I say I know what the Lord's able to do. But the truth of the matter is, He can do far exceedingly abundantly above that I can ask or think. So I don't have a full knowledge of it, but I sure want to see it. And there's no reason for this body right here in South Carolina to go forward and move forward in the body of Christ. An army called of Him, being a part of His plan with His love and His faith growing mightily within it. And I say this body, the whole fellowship. I'm looking forward to see what the Lord has. But it's time to humble ourselves. Get shed of the nonsense. What does it say once again? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what? He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. And with that, I'm done.